The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
I mean, this resembles the third world. This looks like Somalia or Nigeria. It is utter madness. It's chaos. It is carnage. And at least 9 people have died. Now, it comes after more than 1,500 migrants arrived in Ceuta by sea over the past week alone. And this is indeed an invasion. How would this ever be accepted in any civilized nation anywhere else in the world? But we shouldn't be shocked by this. Spain is in a diabolical immigration crisis of its own making after the government unveiled a mass amnesty plan to grant legal status to illegal migrants.
Spain's Interior Ministry estimated that in the span of 24 hours this week, 49,000 migrants crossed into its North African territory of Ceuta. For perspective, the entire population of the Spanish exclave is 83,000. At least 18 people died during Thursday's breach of the Moroccan border. Spain's government said it would deploy its military to restore order. Now, Spain is a main point of arrival into Europe for migrants seeking a better life. Dozens have died this year trying to reach Ceuta. And you may remember back in 2021, more than 10,000 migrants reached the territory over the course of 2 days.
And once all these migrants are into Spanish territory, many more, of course, will come in. They will then eventually have the freedom to move across the entire European Union. And this is a disaster, not only for Spain, but also a real tragedy, I think, for the whole of Europe. And you can be sure that if 50,000 migrants came into Spanish territory in one day yesterday, hundreds of thousands more will seek to get in the next few days. Millions will seek to get in the coming weeks and months. And this is a disaster on epic scale, actually, for Europe. Fortunately, here in the United States, we have a president who defends America's borders, protects the American people. But in Europe, you have absolutely the opposite. But as I mentioned earlier, this is without a doubt, it's a huge warning to the United States. If you put socialists in power, they will literally destroy America. They will destroy the United States. They'll open the borders. And we will see these kinds of disastrous scenes unfolding here in America if the American people allow the socialists to take power.
This is a great example of what's at stake. Niles, thanks so much. Hopefully Europe will wake up.
Hopefully Europe will wake up. Well, they will. You can see the clash in cultures. All of these, mostly Muslims. If you saw any of the footage, we've actually got some B-roll for you. We'll play in a moment. But they're all military-aged young men. If you're seeking asylum for your family, you bring your family because it's so dangerous back home. That's not what we're seeing here. We're seeing an invasion. And you know what's worse is what happened in the United States during the fake presidency years. In that case, it was tens of thousands just coming daily. This is a tiny little Spanish enclave that's actually on the southern side of the Mediterranean. So they're just swimming a short distance because of the new amnesty laws. And then because of the socialist prime minister, they're flooding into this little town, Ceuta, as you heard there, that has maybe 60, 70,000 people. And they welcome in 40,000 in one day. There's reports, I think, in the Wall Street Journal that half the people that came in went home today because there was no food. There was no place to stay. Tiny little city, just overrun by migrants. And the Spanish authorities, they're doing nothing. The Moroccan authorities, they just stepped aside. It's like a little tiny drip of what we saw on a mass scale. In the United States, someone posted some footage of what was going on during the auto pen years. And it went on for 4 years. And the thing about that invasion is Biden's administration. I should say Obama. He was there to welcome them in, to put them in hotels, to give them cash cards, to fly them all across the country so that the United States could absorb millions and millions of invaders. And so we see what's happening in places like Minneapolis, New York City, and so on. This world is about to explode. Didn't mean to go that long. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show, the last show of the week. That's hard to believe. It's hard to believe that the next show, we're going to be coming to you in the month of August. That's Monday. So the summer is flying, and we've still got lots and lots of live programming for you. We've got mostly, I've played a few repeats for the TV programs on the weekend, but we've produced a lot of new ones, some new ones coming out even this weekend on The Word Made Flesh with Life and Teachings of Jesus Christ. And then I think the Key of David program has to do with true conversion. And we play that 10-minute video that we had on this show a while back that goes through Herbert Armstrong's conversion 100 years ago. This year, what an anniversary. And what a time to look at that man's life and to see what he went through to truly repent and to convert to God's way of life. He wrote a short article, and it was reprinted over the years multiple times, that talked about those verses at the end of Revelation 2 and Revelation 3 that say the overcomers are going to rule with Christ. And that Greek word for overcome, it means to conquer. We have to conquer our carnal selves. We have to conquer our adversary, the devil. We have to overcome sin. We have to put it away. We have to convert to something altogether different, something that's godly, something on the God level, something that's moved by the Holy Spirit. It's a wonderful history and example. And you can read so much about it in Mr. Armstrong's works. We have the little conversion booklet. But obviously, you read a lot about his repentance toward God in the autobiography and Mystery of the Ages and that introduction chapter. It is the anniversary, as I've said quite a few times, that we should really be paying attention to. Back to this infiltration of Spain. And the Prime Minister, Pedro Sanchez, this clip, I think, is from a month or two ago when Elon Musk was criticizing him for just having a wide open border policy. This is Europe's back door. What do you think? Italy's already come out and said, you know, we may do away with, what's it called, the Schengen, where they eliminate border security within the Union. This is tailor-made for Europe to downsize. And then, of course, just looking at the history, the clash of cultures, radical Islam and the Catholic Church, has that happened before? Yes, it has. And it's caused rivers of blood. This is where we're headed. All of these military-aged young men just pouring into Spain, pouring into Ceuta, in large part because of what the Supreme Court did, I think it was a month ago in Spain, and in large part because of the socialist worldview that Pedro Sanchez has. Here's clip 13.
Some say we've gone too far, that we're going against the current, but I would like to ask you, when did recognizing rights become something radical? When did empathy become something exceptional? Spain is above all a welcoming country, and this is the path we choose: dignity, community, and justice.
Dignity and empathy and welcoming. Did you see the footage yesterday? You guys can roll some of that. It's just chaos. And people are being murdered, and houses are being broken into. And then there's no food to feed all of these migrants? It's so easy, isn't it? to just look at chaos and confusion and division and violence and strife and say, listen, we're very empathetic in Spain. We welcome them with open arms. That's what Joe Obama said. But what was the ulterior motive? Well, those are future Democrat voters. So these people, and they all go at once. We don't know all the details, but if you listen to the mainstream coverage of this, it's like, well, so far as we know, it could be this, and the waters are kind of warmer at the moment for this 1 or 2 kilometer swim. So a lot of them just came all at once. Oh, really? 50,000 or so in a couple days? The Moroccan forces just stepping aside? This was an invasion. This was coordinated. And Europe, I mean, they are going to wake up. Italy's already had, as I say, some outspoken comments from Meloni. What is Germany thinking? Again, I said this last week on the show where it's easy to look at Germany and its progressive governments and think, well, you've been saying this for decades about the rise of the beast power, the seventh and final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. It's got a lot of reasons to build that military, that German war machine that it's currently building. They talk about Putin, they talk about Orange Hitler, and then what about this? And then what about the German citizenry that's dissatisfied with the economy and with leadership? All it needs is the emperor. The emperor is going to have some very different policies than the one you just heard or the ones you just heard from Prime Minister Sanchez. Europe is about to wake up, that's for sure. A clash of cultures is coming. You looked at, again, you listened to Bannon and Posobiec and some of those conservative commentators here in America, and they're talking about saving Western civilization, like the Western civilization is this shining light on a hill, and, you know, the Eastern civilization, that's the bad guy. That's what we've got to fight against, the radical Islam. Well, there's a lot of evil in the East, but as I said last week on the show, there's quite a lot in the West as well. There's quite a lot in Babylon as well. There's plenty of evil and sin to go around. And that's the cause of all this. Sin. And that's why God says, cry aloud, spare not, and tell my people about their sins. Tell them to turn from their wicked ways. Tell them they're killing themselves and each other. How could you look at those scenes if you're the Prime Minister of Spain and say, hey, we're just being empathetic? Well, are the people streaming into your country empathetic? Are they looking to support the government and to coexist with your citizens? It's just a free-for-all, and it's exactly what God inspired the Apostle Paul to write to Timothy. These are perilous and dangerous times. We are accelerating toward great tribulation. Great tribulation. Maybe I can read another verse that I don't quote as often. Maybe Daniel 12. I think I went through Jacob's trouble last week on the show. But look at this verse in Daniel 12 and verse 1, where it's talking about the end times, the last days. It says in verse 1 of chapter 12, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which stands for the children of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered. God's going to have to intervene to protect his people, his little flock, his church that's out there serving him courageously, going forward with a bold message for this dying world. what I just read to you. Look at verse 4. It says, "But you, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end." It's for the end time. And just back up to chapter 11. Look at verse 40. "And at that time, or at the time of the end, shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots and with horsemen," and so on. I've talked about this verse often this week. There was one commentator this morning, a conservative, saying this is a greater threat than Iran. You know, we don't want to get so caught up in Iran that we forget about radical Islam just pouring into Europe. Well, they are. But Iran is the head of the snake. And Iran, I didn't even get to the stories last week from the Times of Israel, and other outlets are picking it up as well, just how quickly Iran is rebuilding. They've got a lot of help from China and Russia. There was an item in the news stack today about China funding the Houthis, giving supplies to the Houthis. That's an Iranian proxy. Yes, we're going to have to worry about Iran as well, and the Houthis, and Hamas as well. Hamas, by the way, is going through its, what, fourth or fifth disarmament since October 7? It's just like that story about Hezbollah the other day. How that we tried it 20 years ago. The UN went in there, and U.S. sent all of its billions to the Lebanese officials and the Lebanese army and the Lebanese leadership, and they were going to disarm Hezbollah. And here we are 20 years later, and they came up with an idea, a brilliant idea, of pouring billions of dollars into Lebanon and to charge the Lebanese army with disarming Hezbollah. I guess it still hasn't happened. Why is it that in any agreement with these radical terrorist regimes, the what's required is not so much that they disarm, it's that Israel backs away? We're going to solve this through negotiations. You read it as Trump announced it, and it just makes your head shake, really. Skipping ahead, but I want to read the... This is disarming Hamas. President Trump said, "Today the Board of Peace..." We haven't heard much about the Board of Peace recently. I guess it's still operating. "The Board of Peace reached a historic agreement for the complete disarmament of Hamas and all other armed groups in Gaza." So complete disarmament. Remember when we heard about unconditional surrender in Iran? Well, we moved on from that. We worked out a compromise where you can kill a little bit, you can sponsor terrorism a little bit, just so long as it's not a lot. And then, of course, Israel's got to dial it back too. And then we reach an agreement and we have eternal peace. "This is a monumental step toward lasting peace and security. This agreement is a critical step towards Gaza finally being governed by a new Palestinian government." This has been discussed for decades. It says, "As disarmament is completed, Israeli forces will withdraw." So there you go. Notice how every disarmament agreement in actual fact requires Israel to effectively disarm. Israel's got to cease firing. Israel's got to pull out. Israel's got to withdraw. And American forces aren't going to go in there and forcibly require Hamas to disarm. And if Israel can't do it, what are we putting our faith in here? Trusting Hamas to just hand over the weapons? Here we are, just stringing us along yet again. We can go ahead and play that clip of on Hamas. What is this? Clip 7.
President Trump announcing an historic agreement by the Board of Peace where Hamas has agreed to a phased-in disarmament plan within Gaza. paving the way for a new Palestinian government and the eventual withdrawal of Israeli forces. The president talking about this on Truth Social last night, calling it an historic agreement for the complete disarmament of Hamas, saying the threat that emerged from Gaza on October 7th will not be allowed to rebuild.
Some really good people the president has on this file are doing this in good faith to try to get to a better future for Gaza, a more secure future for Israel. There are more ifs and buts in this. I mean, it would choke a dictionary. We have to be very cautious, because we're dealing with Hamas here.
More ifs and buts. And you dig a little bit into the, the seventh or eighth or tenth paragraph in the piece, and you find out, we really don't have many details. Who's going to mediate? Where's this new Palestinian government going to come from? What are the incentives for Hamas to lay down their weapons? And are they going to be eliminated as a threat to Israel from this point forward? You know the answers to these questions. And so all of the celebrating, all of the excitement, all of the tweets, and where will we be? Maybe even a few weeks from now, or a month or two from now. We'll see, and we'll update you on the development. Here's one from News 24, clip 8.
I don't believe that Hamas is genuinely committed to handing over all its weapons. More likely, this is a tactic on the part of the terror group. They're looking for a break. They want to see the Israel Defense Force withdraw, and they can smell international money. So let's be cautious about how realistic this really is. Nothing should be taken at face value from Hamas.
There it is again. Manasseh throwing billions and billions of dollars at a problem. That's the one thing that we will come together and do, spend money. If the senators are going to stay in D.C. for some extra time before their summer vacation, it's not the Save America Act. It's not to protect the integrity of elections. It's to up the spending limits so that we can all keep spending, so that the government can keep working, so that the government can keep serving the American people. And, of course, doling out billions and billions and billions to nations all over the world. And then as soon as these soldiers hear the news. Yeah, the Supreme Court said amnesty. If you come through the waterway instead of going through the fence on land, you're going to get to stay. Or it's going to be easier for you to stay. And then the socialist government says, listen, we'll welcome you in and we'll give you handouts. That is essentially what U.S. negotiators led by Donald Trump are doing with Hamas. Listen, we are welcoming. We want to welcome you into the international community. We have empathy for you. We understand your plight and you need billions of dollars, and we're going to give that to you. If you just agree to disarm, and meanwhile, we'll go drop a few F-bombs at Israel's way and make sure that they get out and make sure that they disarm, at least when it comes to Gaza. As I say, we'll see what happens with Hamas here in a few weeks, because the profanity will probably resume with them as well. And then we're back to square one. And then we're searching and searching for a way out of these tangled webs that we're in. There is no hope in man. That's a theme that's not just in Jeremiah 17. It runs right through the Bible. We have this great chapter, I think it's chapter 2 in this new book that my father's working on with the editorial team. And it's about coming out of self-deception. And the thing I love about the chapter, I mean, I love the points and the writing and all that too, but the scripture references, it's like I like to say in class, it's a blitz of scriptures. And the deeper you go into the Bible and the more frequently you see the message and you see how it just adds to what's covered in another book. It's such a remarkable book, put together over thousands of years by 40 authors, 40 different writers, and then miraculously preserved. And there's a consistent message throughout. If you want to know what is wrong with the human heart, then you can know, you can understand. This is what every diplomat and negotiator should be reading and studying before going into a discussion with Hamas, just so that they can know a little bit more about the human heart. That last commentator, he was closer to the truth than many others are. I think this is just a tactic. I think they smell the money flowing from D.C. I think they're going to talk nice. Talk nice. Just talk nice like the Prime Minister of Spain. This is the path we've chosen. This is the empathy or the loving way to deal with our neighbors. And then the neighbors come pouring in all at once. And they're all young single men, or at least young men without their families if they are married. What's their objective when they come in and start burning cars and breaking windows and killing people? One of them admitted to a reporter, yeah, I'm fleeing a murder charge in Morocco. What is going on? Why aren't there law enforcement officials either on the Moroccan side or the Spanish side saying, listen, you got to be vetted. Who's to say you're not a violent criminal? Well, evidently he is. And now he's just roaming the streets of Soweto. You feel for the citizens there. The Prime Minister showed up today, by the way, and they were just booing and hissing at him. What a world. And it's not getting better, in case you haven't noticed. And I'm not just trying to focus on the negative. It's all over the social media. It's all over the news channels. We're losing Western civilization, the commentators say. Well, maybe we should look at Western civilization. Maybe we should look at ourselves first before we start noting the evil in the Far East or the Eastern civilization or Eastern religion. A clash of cultures. That's what's coming. You see it already. You see it in the U.S., you see it in the U.K., you see it in Europe as well. And in the case of Europe, it's about to awaken an Assyrian beast. It's about to awaken Babylon. Listen to this one from News 24 on the alien invasion, clip 3.
This illegal migrant even told a local Spanish TV station that he fled Morocco because he is linked to a murder case. And how many others are also facing criminal charges? Many will now likely make their way across Europe, possibly even into the UK to enjoy the welfare benefits that come with it. The Italian Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni said the images coming out of Ceuta are striking and demonstrate once again that uncontrolled illegal immigration poses a concrete threat to the security of Europe's borders. Italy will not stand by and watch. We are prepared to intervene with extraordinary measures to defend the borders and the safety of citizens, including the suspension of the Schengen area with Spain.
Wow. So this is shaking Europe. You're not hearing as many strong statements coming from Germany. Not yet. But as I said earlier, a lot of people in Germany, they're very dissatisfied with their leadership, with the economy, and so on. What happens when the Daniel 8 man shows up? This is closer to the Daniel 8 man spirit right here. Okay, we're going to have to clamp down on our border with Spain. And these are EU member nations. And Schengen said, just eliminate any kind of border checks and let people roam through. When we were there, it was nice. It was convenient to drive across the channel and then, you know, go from France through Belgium and Holland and drive down to Germany, and we didn't have all these border checks everywhere. But when you allow unrestricted access to anyone and everyone from Africa, from the Middle East, it's only a matter of time before the cultures clash in spectacular fashion, with one explosion after another. Yesterday was a smaller explosion, but it was a warning of one much bigger to come. Germany is about to reawaken. Italy, the heart of Europe. You've heard those clips so often from Herbert Armstrong. We play them over and again. Here's Fox News' take, clip 4.
Some really wild video here. Chaos at the border of Spain's North African enclave in Morocco. This is a city called Ceuta. You're watching as thousands of migrants break through the fence and completely overwhelm the border police. Their video showing huge groups of people, mostly young military-age guys, cramming into inflatable tubes or arriving on shore in other ways, some of them wading in the water as they break through the gates to get to the other side. Sandra, this is reminiscent of kind of what we saw during the open border during the Biden administration through 2021, 2024, kind of similar to what we saw in Del Rio back in 2021. The socialist agenda, their platform literally says they want to abolish borders, abolish immigration enforcement, have complete freedom of movement. This is what it looks like in another country if they get what they want. Notice there is no resistance from the government whatsoever. These people are coming in without any obstruction. And if people don't know, Spain has a very left-wing government. Earlier this year, they did a big amnesty program for over 1 million illegal immigrants living in the country. They had 1.3 million illegal immigrants apply for that amnesty program between April and June. So that's what we call a pull factor, Sandra. They're looking for something like that. They know if they can just get their foot in the country, maybe someday that left-wing government will do another amnesty program. And you were just reading some of the wires. The locals want an emergency declaration. It sounds like
the ministry's saying no. They will not deploy military to the border.
Apparently, they don't think this is an emergency. I mean, look at this. This is a total free-for-all.
It does feel like we are looking at a few years ago when you're reporting at the border here in the United States. This is happening right now. This story is breaking right now. And you're not just talking about hundreds, thousands of migrants are pouring over the borders as we speak.
You often hear the word invasion, but it literally looks like one here. Look at that. I mean, you see the border fence there. They're all just going around it. And again,
the head of Spain's civil guard is calling this absolute chaos. In a brand new interview, he said, quote, it's not possible to give precise numbers, but there are thousands of migrants crossing right now. He added that the border has totally collapsed.
And how significant is this border? This is from Time magazine. The two Spanish autonomous cities represent the European Union's only land borders with Africa. So you've got Morocco across the Mediterranean, and then just this little enclave that's owned by the Spanish in Spain, and these rulings coming out of their courts saying, well, if you go by water, so basically they're just swimming right around the fence along the shoreline there, pouring in. There's a map. You can get a good idea of what they're trying to get to. That's why it was a short swim for some of them. That's why one guy had his bike. He that probably would have been me, by the way, except my dog would be paddling there next to me. But there you go. It's just a free-for-all. And they're all young men. Is Europe paying attention? Is Germany paying attention? This is Europe's back door. And it's coordinated. It has to be. 50,000 people don't wake up on a Thursday morning and say, hey, let's go swim over to Spain. There's some human trafficking going on here. It may not be as sophisticated as it has to be when you're making the trek up through Mexico to get to the United States. But then that just that introduces us to another evil. What about the sex trafficking? What about the drug trade? How do we stop these things? How do we clean it up? How do we make peace? How do we disarm terrorist movements? There are so many sicknesses. And God's trying to get our attention. But most people are just, they're just buried into their gadgets. They're just looking at screens. And if maybe they see some chaos in Ceuta, they look at it for a few seconds and then quickly continue on with the doom scrolling. Spain deploys. Let me see. I think most of this have been covered in the clips. This one here from Time says, while surges in illegal crossings have happened before in Ceuta, it's unclear what caused the recent one. Spain's interior ministry references an earlier court ruling behind the latest influx, arguing in a statement that it believes that human trafficking networks are exploiting a court ruling to encourage the flow of undocumented migrants, mostly young people. And then, as I say, the articles that talk about warmer temperatures. But they're not clear why these things are happening. And that's really the way most people are that are observing the news, not just the commentators. There's maybe a few exceptions. Some seem to be a little more outspoken, even those coming from the left wing. John Cleese, I think he's the actor in the UK. He said, I'm not a racist, I'm a culturalist. I believe some cultures are superior to others. For example, I prefer cultures that do not encourage wife beating, pedophilia, clitorectomies, stoning, and constant inflation of the male ego. It's a British actor. There's left-wing journalists coming from the sports wing of journalism, about as far left as you can get, that are mocking Fauci, that are apologizing for the people they attacked 6 years ago for getting the jab. They're coming around now because, well, it's safe to say something that would dare criticize Fauci or the Dear Leader. Even some of them see how horribly evil people are and what dangerous times we're living through. And just seeing some of those left-wingers kind of flip on Fauci, he's an evil man. There's no doubt about that. But it certainly makes me appreciate having the truth as a foundation and not having to sort of, you know, test the political winds each morning before we get up and report on any given story. Because that's what most of them have to do. Stephen A. Smith, he complimented, what's the guy's name? Kyrie Irving, wouldn't get the jab, and they wouldn't let him play in New York because of it. I think all the paychecks that he missed when he had to sit out because he didn't take the vaccine, it cost him like $11 million. So he actually sacrificed money, a lot of money, for what he believed. But for those that that gang tackled him in the media, well, they're making their millions too. And I guess they couldn't dare sacrifice their cushy jobs, making their millions, to actually come out and say, let the man believe what he wants. He's in the United States of America. He can't be forced to take a jab. But they wait, or they keep quiet, or they just join the mob and attack Irving. And then 6 years later, you get to the hearing and you see all the sins that Tony Fauci is hiding, pleading the fifth over and over again. A sweeping, sweeping coverage in those last days of the Otto Penn presidency. A sweeping pardon that not only protected him for what was happening through COVID, it went back, I think, to 2014. So here's Joe Obama saying, okay, let's see, it's 2024. We're going to take it all the way back 11 years. And any crime Tony Fauci committed, it's okay. It's covered. He's got a full pardon. What does he have to hide? And then, like some of the senators pointed out the other day, if he has a full pardon, why does he have to plead the fifth? I mentioned in the program, when was it? I think it was Tuesday, that the big takeaway from the Fauci diaries and the Fauci hearing, it's not just about the millions who suffered and even died because they were forced into actions that they didn't even believe in, forced to take a jab multiple times in some cases, locked down or put on medicine or vaccines that had known side effects that affected Fauci's lungs, in fact, a blood clot in his lung. He knew it. He knew he got it from the vaccine, but he never told the public. He lied. How many people died because of the vaccine side effects or were permanently injured? We'll never know the total number because our friends in the regime media, they cover it up. And for the longest time, Fauci covered it up. Now he's being exposed. And even left-wing journalists can see it. And those that still love Fauci, they're just not as enthusiastic in their support for Tony like they were in 2020 and 21. It's a world filled with wickedness. 1 John 5:19. But anyway, this quote from the Appendix C in America Under Attack, I went through this on Tuesday. You can go back and look at that at our websites. But it says here, Obama's support for the Chinese Communist Party's Wuhan Institute of Virology and its bioweapons research is either the result of horrendous incompetence or diabolical treason. The Bible indicates treason. That was the quote I drew attention to. Because here again, when you're relying on the Bible as the foundation of all knowledge, when you look to the Bible as the truth of God, it gives us insights. And we can see the sins that were that are just spiraling out of control, whether it's in the East, the West, religion, politics, government, the universities. The Bible indicates treason. It says, toward this end, the coronavirus has become his most dangerous weapon for convincing people to abandon constitutional freedoms and embrace authoritarian government. It says the pandemic, its coverage, the government's radical reaction to it, and the election that was altered by it trace back to a man with the stated agenda of fundamentally transforming the United States of America. That would be Barack Hussein Obama weaponizing a pandemic in order to steal the election. This article from the other day was from conservative talk radio host Wayne Allen Root. And he asks in his headline, a Daily Mail-like headline, why isn't Dr. Fauci on trial for fraud, mass murder, and crimes against humanity? More importantly, why was Dr. Fauci pardoned by Democrats to protect his biggest crime, the stolen 2020 election? So here's at least one other voice connecting the dots. I heard another commentator this week say when the virus made its way out of the Wuhan lab, whether by accident or deliberately. And he said, at this stage, that's not even important. And I thought, well, it absolutely is important. If it's deliberate, it's an attack. It's kind of like the reporting on the migrant invasion. How do 50,000 of them all at once go at the same time? Is that coordinated? Is that deliberate? Or is that just an accident? Happenstance. Here, Fauci was funding the bioweapons research in Wuhan. And then as soon as it makes its way out of the Wuhan lab, Fauci says, no, it came from a wet market. It came from bats. It came from an animal. It came from nature. And then it hopped into human beings, and now it's all over the world. Maybe we don't have all the receipts, but we have Bible prophecy. We have the truth of the Bible. The Bible, my father said, indicates treason. It sure does. It says here, you're not connecting the dots. This is that Wayne Root guy. You're not connecting the dots. The GOP Senate isn't connecting the dots. Even President Trump isn't connecting the dots. Dr. Fauci was the centerpiece of the 2020 stolen presidential election. He's right. He's right about this. And he's also right to say most people aren't getting the big picture here. They're overlooking the greatest crime of all. I mean, it's a crime to cause people to die because of your man-made drug or your man-made disease. But it was all to rig the election. Or at least it was one of the options. As we've seen from radical Democrats, they'll do anything to cheat, to harvest votes, to create votes out of dead people or illegal immigrants. We just heard the report coming from New Jersey not that long ago. They'll do anything. It says Fauci, China, the CCP, the deep state, and the Democratic Party are all connected. Here again, he's connecting some dots and I think doing a pretty good job of it, at least in this article. I don't read a lot of his material. But he talks in the article about how the policies that Fauci came up with, the lockdowns, the masking, the social distancing, he got all of those from the CCP. He was funding the Wuhan lab. And then the senators did some pretty good work saying, you know, you spent 2020 trying to win prizes for yourself and you made $1 million. Josh Hawley pointed that out. That's just, it's despicable. It's grotesque. It's wickedness. But going back to China, who, as the highest point, the highest paid federal employee in the United States, how could you possibly have all of these close connections to the communist state of China? And we could ask the same of the Bidens. And we could ask the same of the dear leader when he lifted what restrictions remained on gain of function research in 2017. Even that date, when Otto Penn said, look, we're going to give you a full pardon going back to even 2014. A sweeping pardon. What did he need it for? It says here, this was the biggest conspiracy in world history, but it was intended to turn into mass, but what it wasn't intended, sorry. It wasn't intended to turn into mass murder. Well, that may be true as well, but you know, there's a lot of radical leftists that are all for population control. And a lot of those prominent radicals did work for Obama. So this may have been a side benefit. Well, hey, it helps us get rid of the sickly and the obese and all that, the burden to our society, as far as social programs go. We don't know all the details, and I'm not going to sit here or stand here and pretend that I know everything that was going on in their heart of hearts, but we do know about the human heart. We do know about how deceitful, how wicked it is. There's quite a few prominent people that are all for extreme measures that might keep the population under control because they think we're overpopulating. So we've got to curtail that. How do you do it? Well, a pandemic's a good place to start. Anyway, his point is that the big conspiracy here was to rig the election. It says the millions of dead, injured, and disabled in America and around the world are just a side effect of this scheme and scam. The point wasn't to murder millions. It was to destroy President Trump's economy. I made this point Tuesday. Cause crisis and chaos and scare everyone with lockdowns, arrests, masks, and social distancing, which then opened the door for mail-in ballots, ballot harvesting, and ballot drop boxes with no voter ID in order to defeat Trump and steal his presidency. It was, I mean, looking at it from the standpoint of diabolical evil, it was the perfect plan. and look at how much violence and suffering it brought on, just so that these communist infiltrators could fulfill their political agenda. He says the key piece of evidence is the pardon. Here again, you could see why politicians would pardon other politicians, but this was a doctor who's just out there working to try to save lives, right? A sweeping pardon that went for more than 10 years. They said the silent part out loud, essentially. Yeah, we're going to give Tony Fauci a pardon. Tony Fauci? The one that everyone worshipped in 2020 and 21? Yeah. Yeah, Fauci. They knew, you see. they knew how important he was to the plan. Even in the diaries, there have been other articles this week talking about how he did tests on one of those beagle puppies, I think it was. And Obama's the one that picked up the phone and said, hey, I'll take care of this. And Obama, well, we'll find out more, I think. I think that besides the diaries, I think we're going to see even more close connections. There's a long one I have here where he called him up one night and tried to encourage Fauci. Obama did, and talk about how evil Trump was and so on and so forth. I mean, their worldview, very, very similar. Fauci worshipped himself. He worshipped Obama. He hated Trump. Just think about what they would be willing to do to get rid of Trump, because Trump is the greatest threat. In their minds, Trump was the greatest threat of all. So whatever it takes, the end justifies the means. Well, maybe on Monday I can come back to another article that I thought was pretty interesting too on this same point. But I want to leave a few minutes for World Watch. It's Friday. That means we conclude the show. Not always, but usually we conclude the show with World Watch. It looks like I'll take you just a minute over, but of course, I won't charge you for that. Thanks for joining us on today's show, and we hope to see you next time.
Wildfires have been raging across France and Spain for over a week, forcing more than 320,000 people to evacuate. France's Prime Minister Sébastien Lecornu said, "The fires that are hitting our country have reached a level that has never been seen before." According to the Gironde Prefecture government, efforts to fight the fires that broke out in this region of France on July 21st have involved 2,750 firefighters, 18 aerial firefighting assets, 1,500 soldiers, and 1,440 police officers and gendarmes. The firestorm concentrated around Gironde has burned more than 42,000 hectares and damaged 240 homes. Soaring temperatures are exacerbating the danger, with no rain in sight. While experts blame climate change, there is a bigger cause for these wildfires. To understand why a loving God would allow a crisis like this to occur, read our free booklet, Why Natural Disasters. Germany's Environment Ministry for Lower Saxony approved a French-Russian project on July 22nd to produce nuclear fuel rods in Germany. This occurred despite the state's environment minister, Christian Meyer, saying that dealings and close cooperation with Russian President Vladimir Putin's nuclear agency are totally wrong. However, he saw no legal possibility to reject the application in the absence of sanctions on Russia's Rosatom government nuclear energy agency. Germany shut down its last nuclear power plants in 2023, but it still imports Russian uranium for resale. In 2024, Germany imported 68.6 tons of uranium from Russia, a 70% increase from 2023. From January to the end of April this year, the European Union's enriched uranium imports from Russia increased eightfold compared to the same period last year, reaching $186 million, according to Eurostat data released June 15th. The EU also increased its liquefied natural gas imports from Russia in the first 6 months of this year by 18% compared to last year. While Germany has sanctioned various imports from Russia, it has always found other ways to keep the relationship going. Why is Germany still working with Russia? To learn more, read Germany's Secret Deal with Russia Exposed. Özgür Özel, formerly the leader of Turkey's Republican People's Party, announced on July 21st that he has established a new political party, Yeni, meaning new. 90 of the Republican People's Party's 135 members of parliament defected to Yeni, making Özel leader of the opposition. Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan has harassed popular opposition figures through lawfare. His judicial system has imprisoned his previous main challenger on a questionable conviction. In May, the courts stripped Özel of his leadership over the Republican People's Party. But whereas other figures like prominent mayors have faced arrest, Özel, as a sitting member of parliament, has legal immunity. Erdogan has led Turkey since 2003. He has survived previous serious crises. But Özel seems to be the candidate every anti-Erdogan Turk is now coalescing around. Prophecies in the Psalms, Obadiah, and elsewhere show Turkey will serve a crucial geopolitical role in the years ahead. Because of this, the Trumpet watches events in Turkey closely. To understand more, read the chapter Reviving the Ottoman Empire in our free booklet, He Was Right. To learn more about current world news and how it relates to Bible prophecy, please visit thetrumpet.com.